You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The 2017 Equinox clearance is on right now. $8,000 off MSRP on all units. The 2018s are also here, so check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Get to the Rashad Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Cars, vans, trucks, SUVs, you name it, they have it. Over 750 vehicles to choose from, and also a great service center. Call them at 395-9595. Ryan Ashok from TSN joins us. And Ryan, when you look into the that contract, a lot of people talk about McDavid. And here's the thing. I prorated Crosby coming out of his entry-level contract because I think that's the most realistic comparison. And so if you look at what percentage he made in his contract compared to what the cap was, you look at McDavid, the max he should get, max, is 11 million. Based on Crosby, what his contract was, the percentage of the overall cap at the time, which obviously was, I think, 57. Now it's up to 73. So he'd be getting $2.3 million more than what Crosby got at that time. Then Crosby's next contract is hard. You can't really make a fair comparable because it was a 12-year deal, and that's not allowed anymore.
Yeah, that's a tough one to compare. I mean, I like the idea of figuring out what it is on a percentage basis with the cap. I don't know that that will be, I don't know if that will be an exhibit in the McDavid negotiation or not. I think you get him in that 11 range. I think that they would be happy. I don't know that that'll necessarily happen though. I mean, maybe 11, but I'll stick to what I said yesterday. I think it's going to be 11 or 12 million a season. I think it'll be in that range, and I would be surprised if they were able to get him for the full 8 years that they want to do. I would be a little bit surprised if it ended up at 11.
All right. Ryan Johansson, brutal news for the Nashville Predators, and it just illustrates there's never a guarantee in pro sports. You know, the Preds' top-line center has been playing excellent, and in a flash, he is done, had surgery last night, out for the remainder of the playoffs. That is a massive hole.
Oh, I mean, that's beyond crushing to that team. All these years that they've gone into the playoffs without that true number one center, and Johansson is just everything for that team down the middle. Just a real toe-to-toe with Kessler, eating up tough minutes. It's a tough loss, man. I don't know how they rebound from that. Sometimes in these situations, everybody else kind of steals themselves, and you get 10% more out of everybody else in an effort to make it up. But, man, that is not easy. And so Johansson, who had 13 points in the 14 games that he played, playing over 20 minutes a night. Yeah, it's crushing. There's no other way to say it. They finally pushed through to this round and then have, if you were to choose one player for them not to lose, I mean, Rene would obviously be really high on the list, but Johansson, they don't have another Johansson, right? Any one of those D-men, there's a couple other good D-men. It's a crushing loss for them.
Oh, they're going to have to hope that Colin Wilson can somehow find playoff Colin Wilson from 2015 and 2016, because that's really the only time that he has played like a top-line player. Other than that, Arvidsson, James Neal's going to have to play better. Strud's talked about it earlier. The Preds will say all the right things, next man up, you got to deal with it, but come on. Like, they're going to be gutted, and especially you lose that game in overtime. I think if they would have won that game and you're 3-1, your psyche's like, yeah, okay, it sucks, but we're up 3-1.
Right, I just
think,
win the game.
Yeah, everything now is so much more magnified. I think mentally it's going to be hard to come back.
Well, and the Ducks are a team that will be able to prey on this, right? They're strong down the middle of the ice. They're strong from a matchup standpoint. They're going to be able to prey on this kind of weakness. So I can't imagine that the Ducks are going to let this thing go. They just seem to be on a little bit of a mission. They're not perfect, right? They make their mistakes. They lost a couple of games against the Oil. They take a little bit sometimes to get their attention in the right way. But I can't imagine they spit this bit. Number one center and the other team down. Huge, coming off a huge emotional win, even though they got themselves into some trouble in that game. This is going to be a tough one for the Predators. Boy, I don't know who they're going to get to come in and sing the anthems if they get more home games, but it's going to be they're going to have to come up with somebody pretty special.
Well, they got one home game for sure in game six. And then we will see where it goes from there.
got to be Garth Brooks, eh? I mean, that's the guy, right?
That would be an interesting one for sure. Now the Oilers they have a boatload of, and I know it's early, but with Ethan Bear in the Memorial Cup, it's timely. You got Bear, you got Caleb Jones, you've got Mantha, you got Legason you just signed, and you got Pagan. You got five defensemen who basically would all be rookies. You know, Pagan did play some pro in the KHL, of course, and played five games in the American League. But the rest are all rookies at the pro level. Some of them are going to have to end up in the ECHL because, to me, that year of development, I'd rather have them play big minutes every night than play spot duty for 40 games out of 68.
Right. So you're just sort of taking a look at which guys will get a look and which guys will be regular American League players, right? So I know they like Mantha.
I think they might send some guys to the ECHL, right? You got five young defensemen. You can't have them all in the American League. Doesn't make any sense.
Yes. And, I mean, where did they loaned off David Musil somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. He's not coming back.
So, I mean, there's a second-round pick gone. Osterley's unrestricted, hey?
Yeah, he's a group six. Like, they could re-sign him, I think, for depth in the organization because those five that we mentioned, none of them are NHL ready in case you get to some injuries, right? So you got Mark Fain right now as a guy who could maybe be in the American League. And if they lose Griffin Reinhart, they have no other AHL defenseman right now who would be NHL ready in case you get into injuries like we just saw this year recently from the order. So I would suspect if they could re-sign Osterley, they would.
Yeah. I wonder what that would look like. 24 years old now.
Yeah, one-year deal. I don't see him making big money. I don't think it'd be he's probably a guy that might get that $200,000 to play in the American League type of deal.
But not a one-way.
No, I'd be surprised. Keep in mind, Eric Greiba didn't get a one-way last year.
Yeah, I mean, that was really late for him. But yeah.
Yeah, no, but he's a proven NHL player, right?
Yeah, well, they've got some guys that they want to get some time to, and they got some guys that they want to give a good start to their pro careers. But I mean, the truth is they do need some players to play ahead of these young guys and to insulate them a little bit. You can't just throw them all right into the frying pan. So, I mean, Mantha, they'll keep an interested eye on. Pagan, same thing. They've got some guys that they want to develop, but they're going to need veteran players around them a little bit. They can't just Dylan Simpson. What's he restricted at the end of this season? He's restricted, I think. Dylan
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a couple years experience now. But they, I mean, Benning, I think, is a player who, when they signed him, they probably expected him to spend a little bit more time in the American Hockey League and for him to be one of those guys. And then he just played so well and earned a spot and played his way to the NHL right away. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. They've got lots of young players that are right on the cusp or playing. Like between Nurse and Benning and Reinhart there in the mix, I mean, you've got some young guys that are already NHL players. And it has left them a little bit thin in the American League. And we'll see what happens here with Reinhart. You think Reinhart goes?
Well, right now, the two most obvious picks for me would be either him or Brassois. And Brassois doesn't make much sense to me for Vegas because you'd have to expose him to waivers unless you expect that you're saying there's no other teams that have a better backup available, right? He's not a starter yet. So you like, I just look at Columbus, like Korpisalo to me is an obvious pick unless Columbus trades him somewhere. Right? Like,
yeah,
that's such an obvious pick.
Has the body of work. I mean,
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So to me, it's Griffin Reinhart that would make the most sense for them. Like, is there a forward? Are they going to take Jujhar Khera?
Well, now what's the scenario? And I don't have it right in front of me here, so I'll sort of try and call it up as we do it. But what's the scenario? Like, as of right this moment.
Yeah, right this moment. This moment, they would have to expose two of Cassian, Pouliot, and Letestu.
Right.
Right. So Pouliot's the obvious one. Everybody knows he'll be exposed. So,
right.
But if they sign Iiro Pakarinen to a one-year deal, he has played more than 70 games the last two seasons, so he would qualify for a veteran you could expose. Yes.
Yeah.
And I fully expect them to do that.
Right. Yeah. And that will insulate them a little bit. So, yeah, Reinhart might not be a bad option for Vegas to take. I don't think the Oilers want to lose him. I think they want to keep him within the organization, keep him developing. It was interesting listening to Reinhart talk in his year-end media availability when he came out. Somebody asked him about if it was frustrating to watch all the other players get called up ahead of him, even though he had been playing pretty well. And he said that it wasn't, that because he had a conversation with Peter Chiarelli at the start of the year, and it was made very clear to him this was going to be a developmental year. It sounds like he was basically told, you're in the American League for the entire year pretty much, unless we run into major injuries. So be prepared for that. And so it was interesting to hear him talk about that, and it just seems like Peter Chiarelli hit the reset button a little bit with him. And it seemed to work because the scouting reports towards the end of the year on him were pretty good. And so he might be trending back in the right direction. We don't know. It's too early to tell, but he might be trending back in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a useful player for Vegas.
Oh.
The tack that Peter Chiarelli took with Reinhardt this year, I think, has a real good chance of getting him right back on track.
Oh, I a lot of people were freaking out because, you know, we're in a society now that all of us like instant gratification. They're like, oh my God, they gave up a 16th overall pick. They got Reinhardt's a bust. He's never going to play. And there was
hang on. They still overpaid. I'm not letting them off the hook for that.
I'm not discounting that. I'm saying the writing off of Griffin Reinhardt. But because he was traded for a 16th overall pick and the, what was the other one? 32, that he automatically, Marzal, because he didn't play right away, then he's a bust. And so to me, it's not Griffin Reinhardt's fault what he was traded for. So I look at Griffin Reinhardt's production and young defenseman, bigger body, need to get stronger. And he had a better year this year. When I saw him play late in the season, Edmonton in that game in the playoffs, I was like, he was way more assertive than I'd seen in a long time. It's only one game. It's a playoff. So emotions are, it's probably easy to get up for that adrenaline game, but he's never going to be a top defenseman. In my books, he might max out Shauger at maybe a number four. I think that's best case scenario for him. But he could be a steady third pairing guy for 6 or 7 years.
Yes, he could be. He could be. They're trying to get him back on track, and so to go as high as he went in the draft, and then to not have it happen like other top end draft picks for him. I think it's taken him a couple of years to recalibrate his expectations of what he has coming to him. What he has to earn versus what he has coming to him based on his draft position. I think sometimes guys struggle with that. They think they're drafted in a certain spot and there's a certain amount of opportunity that's automatically going to come with that. And Reinhardt just needed some more time to develop. And so getting away from the organization that drafted him as high as they did and into a new organization where he's really having to fight for his place at the dinner table with a bunch of other guys, free agent signings and American League guys and fourth round picks. He's just another one of the guys here. And so I think it's forced him to recalibrate his expectations and evaluate the amount of work he's got to put in. So it sounds like it was a good year. And the Oilers need him from a depth standpoint, especially, I mean, with Brandon Davidson traded now, another serviceable NHL defenseman. They need Griffin Reinhardt in the organization to solidify them. I think they're still going to have to go sign another veteran guy to create competition, but they need Reinhardt. So that's, I think, what Chiarelli was talking about when he was just saying that it wasn't going to be comfortable for them at the expansion draft. They were going to lose somebody that they really didn't want to lose.
Quickly, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Obviously, Fleury's their guy, and that's fine moving forward. All their injuries, they have one goal, Shauger, in this series so far. What can they do to score against Ottawa? Or is the Sens right now just their goaltending, their system, frustrating the Penguins too much? This would be, I think, an upset in a lot of people's eyes if the Senators end up winning this series.
Now, Murray's going tonight, though, right?
Yeah, Murray's in.
Yeah, so I thought you said Fleury was their guy.
No. Murray's their guy for sure.
Right. What can they do to score? And, the Ottawa, it's kind of this Ottawa's a strange beast, man. They're it's tough hockey to watch, and people are complaining. I had you guys talking about the game and everything that's wrong with it. They kind of make you feel that way, don't they, when you watch the game? You're like, this isn't the way this is supposed to be played. I don't know, man. I don't have the answer. It's just they've got the guns. They've got the guys that can do it. It's just about being patient, I think, against Ottawa and just trying to let your better players go out there and do what they're supposed to do. And I would bank on the Penguins being able to do it. I would. I wouldn't start betting against them at this point. They are where they are for a reason. So, it'll be interesting. And hopefully it's a little bit more entertaining so it's not such punishment to sit and watch it tonight.
Well, the first period last game was entertaining for sure. They had four goals. It was up 4-0.
Yeah.
Kind of game over. But just like Hornquist, Rust and Schultz all out again tonight for the Penguins. Like, their injuries just keep mounting. And when you talk about Nashville's devastating one, it's lucky for the Penguins you still got Malkin, Crosby, and Kessel. So you got three guys who, can be game breakers. But it does really limit your depth when you have that many guys continually getting taken out.
No kidding. Although I would still, the Johansson one to me is still a big, I mean, they've got so many guys in Pittsburgh. They've got guys that can step in, like the names you mentioned, but holy, that Nashville one, boy. And word I'm getting out of Nashville is that he played on whatever it was for a period and a half.
Yeah, I saw that.
Before they finally called it.
Yeah.
So gutsy. He'll be hugely missed. And boy, tough break for the Predators. We'll see if they can find a way to get out another win here and make it interesting, or if they just fold.
Shogger, have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Have a great long weekend.